We're going to call the special meeting of the Palmer City Council to order on July 14th at 6 p.m. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
Councilmember Best, I do believe, is on his way. Councilmember Combs?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Here.
Councilmember Irby?
Here.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Mayor Johnson is here, and she'll join us in a moment. Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
There is a quorum.
All right. And let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Mrs. Combs, could you lead us?
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Now is the time for audience participation. We'll open audience participation. Is there anybody who wishes to speak to the council on any subject? Okay, we will close audience participation and recognize Mr. Best is arriving. And next, our new business is Committee of the Whole is the public safety dispatch options. We have a motion.
So moved, Your Honor. Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to go into a committee of his whole to discuss the public safety dispatch options. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passes unanimous. We are now in a committee of us as a whole. Mr. Manager.
Mayor and Council. Can we ask that Chief Ketterling and our dispatch supervisor, Ms. Bray, come up and guide us through the memo that is in your packet?
So, Mayor and Council, for those of you who haven't met her, this is Rebecca Fry. She's our dispatch supervisor. She's been in that role since January. And prior to that, she was a dispatcher for a long time, very experienced here. She's for technical expertise in certain subjects that might be beyond me. But at any rate, she's had a lot of experience with dispatch. And so if there's any other staff questions, you can certainly ask them of her or myself. So the basic premise behind this memo is that we're kind of at an interesting juncture in the life of our dispatch center at the moment. And the reason is twofold. One is, although the city has dispatched for the Mat-Su Borough and their fire EMS and rescue services for about 20 years at least, since I've been here at any rate, recently the city of Wasilla has gotten into the dispatching business when they started MATCOM several years ago. As a result of this, the Mat-Su Borough had started putting dispatch services out for bid on a three-year contract. And we had won this contract the last two times it was out for bid and continued to dispatch for MATCOM. And then they put it out again last year in 2014. We submitted a bid along with MATCOM. We won the bid. Wasilla protested, and the borough consequently pulled the bid altogether and saw fit to issue a one-year contract extension through June 30th of this year. Since that time, they have extended the contract for another year. So then the city manager can correct me if I'm wrong, but we have received that document, and we are in contract with the borough until June 30th of 2016 at this point. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Up until this time, the Matanuska Borough has always employed a CAD, a computer-aided dispatch system. And this does many things. It tracks resources. It has a mapping function. It provides for paging and telephone reception. And it has a lot of interesting things that it does. And it's pretty critical to the way the Mat-Su Borough does business in terms of their dispatching. Since 2007, Mat-Su Borough has owned the CAD, and Palmer actually runs it for them. Now, and they also own it, and they maintain it. And in 2007, I believe they paid $376,000 for this system. They no longer want to be in the dispatching business. In other words, they want to basically pay a fee, and they want the winning organization of the next RFP to not only supply the CAD, but also to maintain the CAD and do all the dispatching for them. In other words, they want to just pay a fixed rate and receive all the services. They've had problems maintaining the CAD. They don't like doing it. It's expensive for them to have people come and do it. And they want to be just basically a consumer at this point. Well, Wasilla has its own CAD. They have a Tiburon system. But as I just mentioned, Palmer does not. We don't own the CAD. The borough does. So we're in a position where if we want to be considered competitive for the next bid that the borough puts out, we're going to have to acquire one. Now, we've made some inroads into the borough about purchasing the CAD that they own. It's been in use since 2007. It's proven to be an efficient system, although it will need some upgrades. They've come back with some tentative pricing, roughly $50,000 to $60,000, I believe, to purchase the hardware, and another $40,000 to purchase some software upgrades that they've recently done. And we anticipate that when they put the RFP out, which should be at the end of this month or early in August, they're also going to require an upgrade to a more capable system. And we've also inquired of Interact. This is the company that makes that CAD, how much that would be, and that's roughly a $75,000 upgrade. So you can see the costs are slowly accumulating if we're going to acquire this CAD. There is some good news. I anticipate, and again, this is all to a degree speculation because the RFP hasn't even hit the streets yet. I'm not even sure if the borough is working on it. They were supposed to put it out at the end of July or early August, but we don't know what it says. But we can reasonably anticipate that staffing changes are going to stay the same and that we will have to supply and maintain the CAD and that we're going to have to provide a CAD-to-CAD interface. The good news is, since we're already running the CAD, even though we don't own it or maintain it, if we do decide we want to bid on the contract, which I would suggest that we do in order to maintain the dispatch contract and provide this service, we probably will not have to purchase the CAD or any of these things until after we learn whether or not we're the winning bidder. In other words, if the RFP comes out in early August, they leave it on the street for 60 days, and then they want to have a period of selection. Figure by the end of the year, they're going to make a decision as to who wins the contract. And then we have 6 months to go ahead and acquire this CAD or something else in order to provide the service. Now, that's a degree of speculation, but it makes sense, looked at objectively, that that's what would happen. So option one, which we're looking at in terms of purchasing the CAD, the hardware, the upgrades, and a CAD-to-CAD interface, we're looking at anywhere $294,000 to $334,000. And then having to maintain the CAD, we're looking at approximately $69,000 to $79,000 a year. The maintenance cost comes from a quote we got from TechMate, and that's for a 20-hour per week employee to be dedicated to nothing but maintaining the CAD system. The CAD-to-CAD interface, you've heard me mention that a couple of times, and what that is there has been a big push through mainly the borough, but from other cities as well, about consolidating the dispatch centers. In other words, right now, when a 911 call comes in, it rings to Palmer because we are the primary public safety answering point, or the PSAP. MATCOM or Wasilla is a secondary. So when Palmer receives a call, if it's for a service that Wasilla would provide, in other words, the Alaska State Troopers or Wasilla Police, and it's a 911, we transfer that call to them. And then they ask the caller some more questions, and then they go on with their business. The purpose behind the CAD-to-CAD interface is so when the dispatcher transfers the call, they can also transfer all the information that they have already gleaned from having talked to that person initially. And that will reduce response times, and it'll prevent these callers from having to repeat themselves. The ultimate goal is to reduce the time before help is sent to these people that need it. So we've priced that. It's about a $90,000 option. The only issue is, of course, since we would be tying into Wasilla's system, this isn't just our party. In other words, Wasilla has to allow us to do this. And frankly, it would be nice if we're going to have a CAD-to-CAD interface that both the cities are benefiting from. Somebody else would help pay for it. But we can't, you know, I have no idea what Wasilla would do. The option's about $90,000. And that comes from Four Quarters, which is a company that was recommended by Interact, the company that is produces the CAD that the borough has now. So now, to put that in a little bit of perspective, the Tiburon system that Wasilla has, we have priced that out for a new one after speaking to Tritech, which is a company that now owns Interact. And forgive me if I can't keep these straight, but these Tiburon, these companies are purchased and sold and upgraded all the time. But Tritech, a new Tiburon system is in the range of $890,000 just for the CAD, plus yearly service fees of $79,000 to $89,000, plus installation. The bottom line is to get that going for the first year is probably $1.4 to $1.5 million. And it's a cost prohibitive amount of money, frankly. There's just, I don't think, I'm not the finance director. I certainly wouldn't tell the city what to do with their money, but it seems like an awful lot of money for a new system like that when we could probably purchase the boroughs for a much more reasonable price.
Can we ask questions while you're going along there?
Beg pardon?
Can we ask questions as we're going along there?
Please.
Now this $800,000 to $1.2 million, that's purchasing it outright. Now, there has been discussions about adding the city of Palmer as an additional user on Wasilla's contract or its, whatever it is that the service is,
yes, sir.
Licensing. Is that the same fee, same price?
I believe the last price we heard about that was between $450,000 and $500,000. I think Wasilla is the other entity that has to get involved with that. To the best of my knowledge, they haven't even said, yes, we can go ahead and do that.
Correct. But it would be $450,000 to Tiburon or Tritech, whoever it is, and then there would be the compensation of Wasilla.
That's correct, sir.
For us to be able to do that as well. Okay, thank you.
So, at any rate, the first option I was talking about, purchasing the borough's CAD and then maintaining it ourselves, is attractive for economic reasons if we want to stay in the dispatch business. Now, if the city would elect not to do that, if we want to say Wasilla can take the contract, they can do that, then we have a couple of other choices to make. We can go one of two different ways. We could decide to contract with Wasilla. In which case they would become the primary public safety answering point and they would do all the dispatching for us. There are some interesting strings that can come with that option. First and foremost is if we no longer employ dispatchers and we eliminate an entire class of positions, we run into a PERS liability study, which can be prohibitively expensive. I recall correctly, the last figure on that was somewhere around $2.2 million over a 20-year period. So the city would be looking at about $138,000 a year just for that study. And this is something that PERS does if an organization like ours eliminates an entire class of positions. Now, there might be some ways around that. We could obtain one dispatcher, in which case we would have to pay that position, but it would have to do basically what dispatchers do in order to still be considered of the same class. So we're paying for that, and then we have to pay something to Wasilla, and that's the real question mark in all this is I have no idea how much Wasilla would charge us, and I don't know what the level of service would be. As objectively as I can, and having talked to a lot of people anecdotally about the dispatch center, I'm firmly convinced that ours is the best one around. We should try to continue with this contract, but if we don't, I would really like to see the city maintain at least its own dispatch center, where we can do that with maintaining either five or six dispatchers. Six would be optimal, five would be possible. Now, since we would no longer be getting the fee that the borough typically pays us for dispatching, which last year was, I believe, $855,000, that was the dispatch fee from the borough and the city of Houston, we would be able to dispatch for ourselves with an increase of between $105,000 and about $206,000, and that's per year. We would not need a CAD, but we could continue to provide the own service for just the Palmer Police Department. And the difference is because if we would have five dispatchers, it would be the lower number, 105, 106,000. And if we had six, then it would increase with the price of a new dispatcher. Yes, sir.
And at that point, we are no longer the preferred 911 wouldn't be coming into our system.
That's correct.
Our residents would now be on the flip side of the same argument that everybody's been complaining about, where somebody would say, where is this emergency at? You'd say Palmer, then they'd have to transfer over that to our folks here.
That's quite correct.
Any other questions from council at this point? Yes.
Do you know when the state trooper contract is up for bid?
The state troopers are currently not in contract because I believe when they decided to start using Wasilla, Wasilla was the only person that was interested in taking him. So that's a very interesting point. If for some reason we either decide not to bid on the MATSU contract or we bid and do not receive it, we could attempt to make inroads with the Alaska State Troopers to see if they would be interested in contracting with us for services. Now, the interesting thing is what they would require and what their RFP would look like and how long that would take to get out on the road. You know, it could take a considerable amount of time for that to even happen, and we wouldn't know if we would even be competitive because we don't know what the requirements would be. I know some Alaska State Dispatcher centers do use CADs, and I believe there are some that do not have them. So at any rate, we would need to be able to dispatch for the busiest detachment in the state, and it would require at least the staffing we have now.
So, Your Honor, seems like to me one of the last times we discussed this was the troopers were thinking about doing their own. There was talk about it maybe being in Fairbanks or someplace. So do you know if that talk is still going on, or with the price of oil, is that gone by the wayside?
Yes, ma'am. No, there's quite a bit of talk. How much of it is based in reality is, again, another thing altogether. The troopers have been known to say that they regret deeply giving up their own dispatch center in Anchorage because they no longer have control of it. I'm not saying anything about the service they're getting from MACOM. It's just they wish they had it back. The reality is they can't afford to get it back because starting a brand new dispatch center is very, very expensive when it comes to radios and equipment and just a place. So, and the state is in the process, as we know, of shaving everything they can out of their budget, including not filling trooper positions here in the valley. So in my opinion, it would be extremely unlikely for anything like that to happen within the next 5 or 10 years.
Councilman DeFreeze.
Yeah, thank you. So Wasilla just has Wasilla and the troopers, or do they have a third one?
As far as I know, just those two.
Just those two.
Yes, ma'am.
Does that mean that Palmer services Houston then?
Mm-hmm. We do.
Okay, thank you. And we currently have 6 dispatchers, correct?
No, ma'am. We have 12, including the dispatch supervisor.
12?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, if we were to, say, lose the contract or not bid on the contract and we wanted to keep the doors open just to dispatch for Palmer,
just for us,
then we would probably need 5 or 6. Again, 6 being optimal, 5 being doable.
That's quite a reduction.
Mr. Manager?
So it just leaves, unless there's any questions, it'll just come down to a money situation as soon as the bid comes back from the borough, which we expect soon. But we're also getting ready to go into budget session. Departments will be putting together their preliminary, how the base schedule goes up. Revenues are estimated by finance department during July. August, the departments start figuring out what they're going to propose. Ideally, the council will give some guidance to the new manager, you know, really soon about where, and do that during your interviews too, of where you want the person to go. And then we'll have to decide, you know, do you want to purchase new? Do you want to try to purchase the CAD system? Or if you go without, then we need to be doing, you know, the what ifs that we're just talking about, either dropping to one dispatcher or to another limited dispatcher. If you eliminate all of them, then start figuring out what the PERS termination study is. So other than guidance that you might want to give early on, like right now, we don't have anything until the RFP comes out from the borough.
Yes, Mr. Hansen.
So one figure that we have to have in order to make any decision is what the cost for the termination study is. I mean, we can't just guess that it's 138. We have to really know what the ultimate cost is going to be. I mean, that they have to understand that to make a decision.
Understood. And the last time this was done, I believe Director Owen at the time did contact PERS, and it was 138, but that was going on 2 years ago now.
What's the cost for the city manager? Do we remember what that is?
$15,000, I think, right?
No.
I have that legislation. Unfortunately, our thing is not working right now. It was 2,500. If you give me a moment, I can bring it up. And then there's a percentage every year. There was also a fee that was paid up front, and I believe it was 14,000 one-time fee.
So the percentage is the percentage of the payroll for that classification of people?
It's percentage of that. The termination study determines it, and what they determined, it was 18%, 18.6% for that position. So then it'd be per...
per employee?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if I find it...
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep looking.
Yes, Mr. So, Best. Oh, continue.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, continue.
I just have another question regarding that then. So if we contract with the borough and basically have six employees that are contract employees, essentially, because we're being reimbursed for that, are we responsible for five of the PERS employees or all 12 of the employees? Termination study based on 12 or six? I mean, those are contract employees. The borough's basically paying for those. So we need to make sure that under our new contract, when we bid our new contract, that we are making that something that the borough is going to be responsible for, paying a portion of their employee costs ultimately. I mean, if we didn't have them, if the borough wasn't a part of our payroll, we weren't reimbursed for it, we wouldn't have those extra seven employees that we're paying for. If we had our own dispatch center, we'd have five if we were eliminating that class. But because we're contracting with the borough, we have 12.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Manager?
But it doesn't matter because you're just talking about if you went from 12 to five, they're not going to pick up any employees. Termination study just kicks off when you're eliminating a whole classification.
That. I'm just saying that needs to be built into the cost of our proposal for doing service because we're assuming liability for that contract. So if we're bidding our contract based on we have a janitor that takes care of the place, we take care of the CAD system, we have six employees that bid it, or what else that we have, training, contractual service, a part of our financial obligation to this whole thing is the fact that we're basically subsidizing the borough's responsibility for employees through our own. So we need to cost those into that whole program.
Yeah. And I think your bid will do that, as will Wasilla. That doesn't prevent, and you're going to have to decide how much you really want the dispatch. But Wasilla could just say, okay, if we think we can beat Palmer to get the bid at a dollar amount, it doesn't matter what we want in terms of contracting, the borough will go with the price that makes the most sense to them. All of these costs are, that's what the fee is that we get from them, so they are accounted for.
Madam Clerk, did you have?
No, I think it was answered, other than the cost was 14,000 and 18.6% of the pay rate for the position.
I think 14,000 times 2.
At that point,
12, I mean.
Correct. No. Is one thing that the determination study would determine. This was this at this point in time. So when the termination study is completed, which is $2,500, then they determine the one-time service costs. So last time it was 14,000, eliminating a whole class. I don't know what they'll come up with. And then on top of that is the percentage every year.
Mr. Best.
So I'd like to understand a little bit the borough services that we're bidding on, and Wasilla is also bidding on. Per their contract, as it goes out to the RFP, next year with the borough's system needing to be upgraded, is that part of the contract that whoever wins it maintains their system? So Wasilla, even though they have this much more expensive system, and if they win the contract, are they going to be required to upgrade the borough's system or are they pushing
No.
Wasso's service onto the borough at that point?
Basically, yes. What would happen, from everything that we've heard talking to various officials at the borough, is the next contract is going to require the winning bidder to supply a CAD, which can meet the services, and maintain that same CAD, which can supply those services. Now, we haven't seen it in writing yet, but everything we've been told is that's what's going to happen. Now, the other question is, and we haven't heard this yet, is the borough going to decide they want to do the same thing with 911 lines? In other words, the micro data systems and the things like that that the borough is currently maintaining themselves. So there's a degree of, we have to wait and see what the bid comes out, and then we'll figure out what we can do to be competitive with it. But for now, we do know with enough certainty to say it here that whoever it is going to have their own CAD and maintain that CAD. Now, as long as the CAD will meet the service requirements and Tiburon would, and I believe that Interact, what we have now, would, provided we upgrade it, that should be fine.
Mr. Manager?
Mayor, Council, the other part is, so that you know, the borough was perfectly prepared to end the contract about 2 months ago. And when the chief and I went over and met with him, I said, well, this is silly. We've been working on this consolidated dispatch stuff. And the only reason why they stayed is that I said, we're going to go and take it back to the council. We're going to lay out some of the alternatives. We asked them in between this time to say, how much do you think you're going to want to sell it for? And then the other part that's a real key here is we've told both the borough manager and the one who's kind of the interim chief of the consolidated dispatch is the deputy, George Hayes. And we said, look, we don't want to go down this road if we go out and then you say the only acceptable CAD system is going to be Tiburon, including not the current one. And so we said, you need, we'll go to council, we'll ask it, and it's going to be either the city bids on it or doesn't bid, but you also need to decide and don't string us along. So they're doing that. But that's, by the fact you're talking tonight, is the only reason they agreed to sign it. And the other one, just technical, it's not a big deal. We have the agreement back from the borough. It's on your council meeting next time to do it. And they didn't include the first time a cost of living. They changed it, so there's another document coming. So after next week, then we'll be officially in the business again.
Mr. Best?
So you had mentioned early on that if somebody was to start a dispatch center, it's cost prohibitive, a lot of equipment, software, all that kind of stuff. So with this new contract where the borough is going to be saying, provide us with services, are there going to be hardware requirements that we're going to have to provide to the borough for our current system, or likewise with Wasilla, are they going to have to provide any hardware services for the borough to be able to dispatch to them?
Well, that's what basically purchasing the CAD hardware would do for us, is owning that. Now, that's a very good question, because the big unknown is what happens if and when something breaks. And we're responsible for fixing it to the point where it is now still a serviceable system. And depending on what that is, that could be an expensive dollar item. Currently, since the borough's CAD, if something breaks, they pay to have it fixed, or they don't. And they live with the consequences of that. But were we to be in contract with them, providing the CAD and the service, and of course, that's something we would have to do.
And that when we're talking hardware, are we talking radios in their units? So for the borough, it's the EMS stuff, right?
Yeah, and that's correct. And no, that would not include their radios. They purchase all that on their own. This is basically just the computer system which runs the dispatch center.
Mr. Hansen?
Yeah. First of all, the fire element of the city of Palmer, that would stay with the borough fire and whoever had that dispatch contract would go, like if Wasilla won the bid and we elected to do our own police, the fire element of the Palmer, city of Palmer would go with the...
That's correct, yes, sir.
Okay. And my last question is do you believe there should be one dispatch center?
Personally, I like redundancy, simply because I don't know that the potential issues which they're talking about that they think consolidation would reduce would really be reduced if there was consolidation. In other words, calls are still going to have to be transferred on occasion. There's still going to be some information that's lost. It's never going to be a perfect system. But what you do run the risk of is if there is some type of disaster and it engulfs the only dispatch center you have, now you've got a real significant problem because now nobody can talk. And so to a degree, there is some benefit in that redundancy. In other words, we can currently, if we need to, talk to Wasilla PD and the troopers and provide them with some services. And likewise, Wasilla can do the same for us. If you only have one center, then that's not a feasible thing. It's not without its benefits. You know, one center, one governance, it's all under one roof. However, I will say that, and some of you are probably equally aware of this as I am, they've been talking about consolidated dispatch for decades, and it's never happened. And it's come down to money, or it's come down to governance, or it's come down to one thing or another, and it just hasn't ever been achieved. Now, I can't say, for example, why that is. I wasn't at the level back then where I would understand why that would or wouldn't happen. But it's a great theory. I'm just not sure it would solve all the problems I think it's going to solve.
I think the biggest reason why it hasn't happened is because of territorial issues. I mean, people just refusing to give up any type of control. I mean, that's my opinion why this thing hasn't happened.
Yeah, and it's entirely possible. You know, one of the things that's interesting is when I first started here in 1997, I was a dispatcher. And with the exception of the troopers dispatching out of Anchorage, for all intents and purposes, we basically had consolidation because we dispatched for Wasilla PD, we dispatched for Palmer, and we dispatched for Fire and EMS, so we did it all without a CAD. Well, I mean, things have changed quite a bit in the last 18 years, so that's no longer really feasible, but when Wasilla became into being, that's when it got a little bit more complicated. And yeah, I agree with you, territory probably has a great deal to do with it.
Mr. Best?
Are we still discussing it at the table side? We have Commander Ketterling here, or the chief here, and I mean we're kind of talking about it. But you know, to me, with the borough's desire to have the consolidated, and I also have the opinion like the chief does, redundancy has its benefits. If we were to continue discussions with the borough and others, you know, that are with the borough assembly, you know, I think to accomplish the first phase of that consolidated was to have both cities, both dispatching centers on the same software. And I think that if we engage in the conversation of that we are in full support of that first phase to have both entities on the same software, then that is the redundancy, that is the safety that everybody was looking for. It allows then to be a seamless integration of calls when if whomever wins a bid, that when you go to transfer it to the other entity, it is seamless. It's that seamlessness that they were looking for, to where you're not having to be explaining the same emergency over. I think that is truly the best of both worlds, of kind of the one entity, but it's in two separate places. I think if we could engage in conversation with the borough to get their support and potentially go to the state or whomever to try to get funding so that the software is whoever wins the bid, the software is upgraded to match whatever software, that is truly the best situation. So, we're just going to have to wait till the bids come out and whether or not we win it or not, and then have that discussion.
Mr. Manager?
Mayor, Council, I don't think you want to go there of the same software, because you're talking about Tiburon, and that's that $800,000 tag. If you're talking about the ability for the two systems to be able to talk, that's different, and that's what the CAD interface is. There's no money at the state to fund communication system for us. And otherwise, they'd be funding, or logically, they'd be funding the state patrol. So I think you gotta be real careful if you say that we should have same software. I don't think there's any disagreement that the two systems, in order to be redundant, talk to each other and share information. That's what the other alternatives. And that's why that's the nuance of when we're talking to the borough saying, look, are you going to come back and say there should only be one kind of a system, Tiburon, whether it's in, you know, Palmer or Wasilla? But you go down that road, then they say, okay, you want it, you buy the Tiburon system. And I don't think there's not enough money in our budget to buy an $800,000 software system.
Mr. Best?
I'm not advocating us paying $800,000 for a piece of software. I'm advocating for, if the borough wants to go down this route of having a shared system, that they would have to be the entity to help try to bring in this funding to whomever they want to support, whether it's our software or Wasilla software or another piece of software, whomever. But the $79,000 that we're talking about for an additional piece of software on top of it, that would then be used to communicate between the two systems. I mean, is that a yearly fee? Is this a one-time deal? Is there going to be services that both cities are going to have to pay into this piece of software? Is it $79,000 for us and $79,000 for Wasilla?
The CAD-to-CAD interface, which I was talking about earlier, is basically designed to do what Mr. Best is talking about. In other words, it lets the Interact system, which we have, talk to the Tiburon system, which Wasilla has. And fundamentally, what it allows is when a 911 call or any caller is transferred from one center to another, the dispatcher will, and this might be oversimplifying, but push a button, and the information they have on their computer screen goes to the information on the computer screen in the other center. Now, what makes this interesting is that one of the first steps that they've always talked about in the consolidation process is this CAD-to-CAD interface. In other words, interchange between the two dispatch centers. And one of the reasons I put this in the option and the cost of it is because I think that the borough really, really wants to see that happen. And frankly, it's probably a good thing that it would happen. Like I said, it would be nice if we would get some help in paying for it, but the price from this Four Quarters company was about $90,000. So that's what I put in there. In the event we have to, or elect that we want to pay this, that's what it would cost.
Mr. Best.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. And I appreciate your indulgence in the multiple questions here. So is that $79,000 just for the one end of the interface?
That's the interface completed and so stood up ready to go. Yes, that's correct. And then I think they quoted us about $10,000 each year for maintenance.
Mrs. DeFries.
Thank you, Your Honor. Do we know if in this year's budget, you know, because the borough just started a new budget, do they have monies in there to continue down the road for consolidation and run by a separate entity like what was talked about before?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm sorry.
They don't.
Okay. We have any more questions or? No? All right, did you have anything else, Chief?
No, I'd just like to thank the council for their time on this. It's a big deal, and I'd just like to reiterate, I do think our dispatch center does an outstanding job. And if I know it hasn't been solicited, but my humble opinion is that ideally we would bid for the contract, and then if we win it, we would go through the steps we need in order to procure the equipment to provide the services. Failing that, I would strongly encourage us to maintain at least our own center for police department with maintaining 5 or 6 employees. And the reason is whether we contract through Wasilla or we get rid of dispatchers altogether or we maintain our own center, we're going to have some type of financial bite. And we just, with Wasilla, we don't know what that'll be. We don't know what the service will be. And then we might have the PERS liability study on top of that. If we keep one dispatcher and we contract with Wasilla, now we have to pay that dispatcher position and whatever the contract is. And so in maintaining 5 or 6 people, it is going to be an increase, but at least we get something good out of it, would be my thought.
Mrs. Combs.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Chief Ketterling, for the thoughtfulness that's gone into this. It's very concise. It's obvious that you've worked very hard on this. And I'd like to say that no matter what little kinks there have been in the current system, having availed myself of the system frequently in recent months in particular and in the past, it's always worked really well. I know that there's some people that complain about the fact that, you know, we've got the two different systems and things don't run real smooth. But it's been, you know, everything that I've been told, every comment that's been made to me is that, especially from this side of the valley, everything has been done to bend over backwards to make this system work. And I have full confidence that that'll continue. So thank you for the thoughtfulness and everything that went into this report, because it truly gives us something to chew on here. And hopefully we can come back and... you know, back up all your confidence in your folks too.
Yes, Mr. Hanson.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I think that all of us believe that we have the best dispatch center, and we're in a position to provide the best service. I think we all believe that. And I think at least myself, for 15 years, I've believed that we should consolidate dispatch and we should run it. And that's the way it used to be until Sarah Palin screwed it up. However, we have a responsibility, not only reliability-wise, but also money-wise to our residents. And so we're going to have to make tough decisions regarding the dispatch center. So I just want to leave it.
Understood, sir. Yeah. Yes, I would concur with that. I think all of us do believe we have the best dispatch center. All right. At that, we will come out of committee as a whole, and... no further action before us. We'll adjourn. Is there any action the council wants to take? No. We're adjourned.